God's Divine Healing, Part 1, Cornerstones of Healing, by Peter Amsterdam.
The subject of God's divine healing is multifaceted one, and not simple to address, given the many factors surrounding the topic. While there are differing and sometimes conflicting stances amongst Christians regarding healing, we know that God, in His love and compassion for the sick, chooses to use a variety of methods to heal those in need. We also know that God works differently in each person's life and answers our prayers for healing in different ways. Some TFI members have incorporated the gifts of healing into their witnessing or prayers for others and have shared their experiences along these lines. Others have expressed their questions about healing, including whether something is wrong if someone who is prayed for isn't healed immediately, or if the person being prayed for is to blame if they aren't healed. Some people have experienced deep discouragement when they or their loved ones didn't get healed after prayer, while others felt that they were being judged by others for lacking faith for their loved one to be healed. Healing isn't a new doctrine within TFI. Members have faithfully prayed for one another since TFI's early days when a member was sick, as well as prayed for the healing of those they've spiritually ministered to. While healing hasn't generally been used as a major evangelizing method, members have experience in praying for the sick and seeking the Lord for healing. The healings of Jesus. It is clear from Scripture that supernatural healing was an important part of Jesus' ministry. He had compassion on people because they were as sheep without a shepherd. As the good shepherd, he loved and cared for them by healing them and setting them free from pain and disease. Jesus' healing miracles also validated his ministry, his message, and his identity as the Messiah. The fact that he healed people proved that the words he spoke came from God. His words were backed up by his actions and served as signs pointing to the reality of God's kingdom. When the scribes questioned Jesus' forgiveness of the paralytic man's sins, his healing miracle testified to his power to forgive sin. Some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. When John the Baptist sent his followers to ask Jesus if he was the expected one, Jesus responded by pointing to the healings he had performed and the gospel that was being preached to the poor as proofs that he was the one sent by God. Now, when John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one? Or shall we look for someone else?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Jesus' power to heal showed the people of his day that he had authority from God, and thus that the message he gave and the words he spoke were from God. They authenticated his claim that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one could come to the Father except through him. People recognized that his works were miraculous, showing that he was from God. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." They were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. They were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Jesus healed the sick, and he commissioned and empowered his first 12 disciples to do so as well, as he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. In Matthew's version of this event, Jesus told the disciples to proclaim as you go, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons." Later, Jesus sent out the 70 to heal the sick and proclaim the kingdom of God. Just before his ascension to heaven, he commanded the disciples to preach the gospel, to make disciples, and to observe his teachings. God's gifts of healing today. Like other aspects within the Christian faith, different denominations or general categories of Christians interpret certain scriptures differently. And even within denominations and churches, individual members may hold different beliefs on some aspect. While Christians generally agree on core doctrines of the faith, we often hold differing views on some of the secondary points. These differing viewpoints regarding issues that are not core principles don't make one person more of a Christian than someone else, or a better Christian. They are just different outlooks, interpretations, or applications of the faith. There seems to be a similar situation within the healing evangelism community regarding gifts of healing. In Scripture, we read that the gifts of healing are among the gifts of the Holy Spirit made available to Christians. However, not all Christians believe that divine healing is available today, and some denominations don't believe that healing miracles happen today. They believe that the day of miracles is past. Other Christians who believe that the gifts of healing are still active today use this in their evangelism and witness. In general terms, within Christianity, there are two differing points of view concerning the gifts of the Spirit. There are those who believe that all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are active today, and there are those who believe that the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, namely prophecy, tongues and interpretation, miracles and healing, are no longer active. The belief that the miraculous gifts have continued on throughout the history of Christianity and are present today is known as continuationism. The belief that the miraculous gifts are no longer available to believers is known as cessationism. In brief, cessationists believe that the miraculous gifts were only available during the apostolic age, while the apostles were alive. They believe that such miraculous gifts were given in order to authenticate the apostles' preaching of the gospel, so that when people saw the apostles perform miracles, they would believe the message the apostles were preaching. Once the apostles died, their belief is that these gifts ceased because they were no longer needed. One of the main arguments for cessationism is based on 1 Corinthians 13:8 to 12. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul spoke about the gifts of the Spirit and then went on to express that no matter how many gifts one has, love is a more excellent way. In 1 Corinthians 13:8 to 10, we read, "Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away." One of the key cessationist points of view rests on the statement, "But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away." In the cessationist view, the perfect came when the canon of Scripture, the writings in the New Testament, was determined. And therefore, there is no further need for the imperfect means of finding God's will, such as the gifts of prophecy, knowledge, etc. Because that which is perfect has come, the Word of God in the New Testament, or because miracles are no longer needed to affirm the message of Christianity, cessationists conclude that the manifestation of spiritual gifts came to an end once the apostles died. Continuationists believe that the miraculous gifts of the Spirit will continue until the Lord's return. They interpret, "when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away," as being when Jesus returns at his second coming. In this view, at that time, the present gifts, which are imperfect, will no longer be needed. But until that time, the Holy Spirit still apportions these gifts to Christians. The core beliefs of TFI fall within the continuationist interpretation of Scripture. We believe that God continues to perform miracles according to His perfect and sovereign will and plan, as per our statement of faith. We believe that the Holy Spirit's presence may be manifested in believers' lives through different spiritual gifts, which include wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, and prophecy. While Jesus was on earth, He not only expressed His love to humanity through healing people's hearts and spirits, but He also performed miracles to feed the hungry and to heal people's diseased and crippled bodies. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we therefore believe that He still performs miracles today. TFI's statement of faith, the Holy Spirit, and divine intervention.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at tfionline.com.